to the Armless Octocast. We don't currently have an episode number because it's been that damn long since the last time we've recorded something. My name is David Voiles, and with me as always, we have, gentlemen...
Daniel Campbell, I'm coming at your face at Monic Sonic Speed, and I don't know where I'm going with that. I'm sorry, I apologize. I'll stop. So,
next up...
Wayne Kubiak, I don't got a good intro for you guys, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't think mine was good either, so...
No, it was going a good place. It was going a good place.
Towards your face. That's a good place to go.
With haste.
with incredible, just freaking flesh-breaking face. Space, haste, space. I swear to God, I'm not high right now at all.
Sorry. There's a fourth guy here, too.
Yeah, please. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Introduce.
And I'm Gilal Mogi, and I'm also completely listless.
You know, I always wondered how to say your last name, but I guess that is it, Almogi.
Almogi.
That's why you had us introduce ourselves.
Yeah, well, that's my secret way of doing it. And next time, we'll see if we can do it in 140 characters or less.
No.
So yeah, it's been some time since we all have gotten everyone back together. We're short Taylor, Mike, and...
Anthony?
It's too late for me. It's too late. Anthony, I just saw him at PAX a couple weeks ago, too. It's been a while. So yeah, our last show was episode 110, and that was April 17th of this year. So that was quite some time ago. We've got to make sure we don't go on hiatus for that long again. Mm-hmm. So with that said, why don't we start from the top of the list and start working on what we've been playing. So Gil, why don't you start us off?
Okay. For myself, I've been playing Persona 4 Golden for the Vita.
Nice. Good choice indeed.
It is the reason I got the Vita. Or same rather... here. The reason I asked for it as a present. And it's awesome.
How about the rest of you guys? Have you played it before?
I played the original.
On the PS2?
I played the original PS2, and I'm playing Golden now. But it's like, no matter how much of an amazing game that is, it's still kind of hard to sort of look at the, 100 hours I put in on the PS2, and then see the Golden version and be like, man, do I really want to put in that kind of time again? I mean, I had a great time with it, but that doesn't mean I want to do it again.
I have the PS2 version, and it was a really hard find, and then, it was announced for the Vita. I'm like, you know, fuck it. So, anybody want a PS2 version?
You know, we could have a whole discussion on how I feel about that, because I used to be a game collector. When I say used to be, I mean, I kind of got tired of, having these super rare games, and then them being, released digitally, so, the price went really far down. And when I say I'm tired of it, I'm a little disappointed about the value of this thing that I spent, a fair amount of money on degrading. But on the other hand, how much I love games and love these particular games, I'm thrilled that more people get to experience them.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, totally.
But that's just...
I think in general, the collecting market kind of got out of control with pricing anyway, though.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Well, when I got Persona 3 FES from GameStop, which is the first one I played, it was $36, and now you can get it for $20 on the PSP.
Right. Mm-hmm. And one of my big things is I really wish they would open more of a catalog. Again, we could have this huge conversation about this. Thing I'm going to say about it is, it sucks that there's still some out there that are really hard to find. Suikoden 2 is one of my favorite games of all time. You still pay over $100 for a decent copy of that.
Wow. Yeah.
But.
Is that how you say that?
Suikoden? Yeah.
Suikoden, Suikoden.
Close enough.
It's Japanese games, man.
I always said Suikoden.
I've heard it called Suikoden.
Sui?
Yeah.
So how many hours are you into Persona 4 so far?
Oh, God. Definitely tens, if I haven't hit 100 already. I don't know. I do the full grinding, and I guess because... I'm at a reasonable level. I just run through the entire dungeon when I do grinding, and I spend an entire in-game day doing that.
Yeah.
But that takes hours in the actual day.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it can definitely be time consuming.
Yeah, it's just when you realize if you can keep going and you just do, it's just incredible. So, I mean, the main protagonist, he's level 52 now.
Okay. Yeah, I finished at 93 or 94, 90 hours into the game.
I finished Persona 3 at 99 for all my characters. Oh, when I saw the benefits that everything 999's out, I was like, oh my God, I have to have this for everybody.
Yeah. Completionist at his best.
No, I didn't collect all the Personas, though. That's something that is for that other is people. Genius.
That is like 500 hours craziness right there.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
That's insane.
That's why I'm ignoring Margaret's quest to make like special Personae. I'm just like, no. How do you want to hang out with me or you don't?
It's always that she's just using you for your Persona body. I don't know. But she's using you for sure.
Definitely. She's like, I want to see a Persona you don't give two shits about with Tsukaja. Mm-hmm. Go. Forget it. All right, enough about my emotional burn. Next.
So, Wayne, what have you been playing lately? Any indie games of note?
Yeah, actually, 2 seconds before we started this podcast, and I actually was trying to figure out how to escape out of the game while I was getting this call. I was playing that Electronic Super Joy.
Mm. I saw it at PAX, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I played it at PAX before, and it was pretty fun, and I got it on, I don't know, there was some bundle that I got it on.
Yeah.
And that game's cool. It does the hard difficulty thing without feeling, like, overly punishing.
Yeah.
And as I've been going through the levels, they've kind of thrown something unique at me every single time, and yeah. I kind of hope that kind of runs through the whole game kind of thing.
And there's a lot going on in this game, is there not?
Yeah, there's definitely a lot going on.
If you have epilepsy, this is not the game for you.
Oh, good gosh, no. Actually, the second level that I played, there was white and black yeah. bars like going over the whole thing, and it would invert all the colors. Mm-hmm. And I was like, whoa, what am I doing right in the beginning?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that game looked a little bizarre. But it's like crazy techno the entire time, tons of moving, bright-colored backgrounds. So it's simple, but there's a lot going on at the same time. It's kind of one of those things you've got to see to enjoy for yourself.
Yeah, and whenever you hit a checkpoint, it does, like, sexual ecstasy noises.
Yeah, yeah, whoa. This is the kind of game you play if you're on an acid trip and looking to go clubbing for a night.
Yeah, but, yeah.
Like you do.
Yeah,
yeah. Exactly. Well, I mean, most nights, you know.
Yeah, I'm just on Monday night in Philly, you know.
I may have a problem, gentlemen. I'm not sure. I may have an issue, but yeah.
Okay, Daniel, how about you? What has been on your plate as of late?
Not as many indie games as I would like, but a lot of League of Legends, as always. But, you know, that's nothing new.
Everyone a League of Legends partner. I know yeah. a couple people that play.
I'm sorry, they're probably dicks. I'm not playing. if the majority of the League community is any, you know, indication, yeah, they're dicks. As far as indie goes, I tried playing Cube Tractor. That's pretty cool.
Cube Tractor, no idea.
Yeah, it's this kind of like puzzle-ish game. It's like very 8-bit, you know, or actually 16-bit sprite art style. It's pretty cool. But one game that I'm really interested to start playing that I purchased when it was on sale was the Knights of yeah. Pen and Paper Plus One.
Okay.
I'm not sure if you guys have had a chance to play that at all, but it looks
no idea.
Pretty awesome. It sort of almost looked like a simulation, but they're a mix between sort of like a simulation game and like an RPG. Okay. Kind of like what you would probably shoehorn it into sort of that like game dev story and, you know, like adventure story, whatever it is.
Okay.
Those kinds of games. But let me see. Went back to Mark of the Ninja for a little bit. Decided to try and play the DLC on that.
How's the DLC for that?
Kind of what you'd expect the DLC for that game to be. It's really not of much substance. I wouldn't pay the full price for it. I would kind of wait till it goes on sale if you're really into Mark of the Ninja. If you're yeah. not super into it, I wouldn't worry about it. Go ahead.
I got it with one of the bundles, and I was really looking forward to it. Everybody was going gaga.
It's good. Yeah, I think I did a review on it at one point. I don't remember. I think that was for Armos. And I gave it a 5 out of 5. It was good. I really enjoyed the game.
It was that damn good.
It was.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I don't like stealth games, and I really enjoyed it.
I yeah. love stealth.
You know, as I find, I generally don't have the patience to play a stealth game. I yeah. rage quitting more than not.
Well, you have a lot of rage lately, remember?
I do. I just saw from one of my stories last week.
That was fucking scary. Rage.
This is different. We're talking about a different kind of rage.
Yeah.
Just slightly. that's pretty much it for me, really. I've been playing this X3 as well. That's pretty cool, but
X3, no idea.
It's like the space sim game. I might even be saying the name of the game wrong. I don't know. There you go.
X3. Okay, Gil, looks like you've also been playing Rain.
I just recently played Rain for a review for another website.
Okay. Do tell. Do tell.
It's rainy.
Yep.
I don't know. My findings were that it. It's like it has everything you know about it from the trailers is all you need to know. And I was a little disappointed that the story didn't take me somewhere special. I actually, I could have spent my entire review going on, like, drawing parallels between it and Papo and Yo from last year.
Oh, yeah. Lots of year old already, huh?
What's that? Yeah, it's a year old. And, like, the similarities are that they are both linear puzzle platform games where the puzzles are not intended to impede you forever.
Mm-hmm.
But Papo Yo just, it raises more empathy within the player. They start screwing with the fantasy idea so that you and the environments just get more and more surreal beyond the gimmick that you already know about with twisting the world around and things like that. It just took it to many levels, and Rain didn't. It didn't get surreal until really near the end. The story is narrated through inlaid text, which would be cute, except it's telling you exactly what you're watching.
See, I'm kind of worried about, or Papo Yo, I've never played it, but like I'm interested to see if somebody can play that game not knowing its background and still get the sort of, you know, emotional effect from it. Because we all know what it's about. Like, we're kind of go into it expecting that it's just, you know, big metaphor for, you know, his father and his, you know, alcohol abuse and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I kind of wonder if somebody who didn't know the background would fully get that or not. But that's
just
me.
You would get it by the end.
Which I haven't played it.
Yeah, I mean, it literally slaps you in the face with it by the end of the game. But
that's
it does
not the big greatest thing in the world, actually. I don't know, but
it doesn't sound great. It sounds actually really pedantic. But it ends up being really effective. It, like, the developer wanted you to leave knowing exactly what we're talking about, and it doesn't ruin it. It didn't ruin it for me.
You totally say you cried, dude. I won't think less of you. You can say you cried. It's cool.
Oh, I did. I didn't really cry at the game. I cried when I was writing the review and thinking
with
about
it.
The game.
With it.
Mm-hmm. Definitely an emotional experience. I know people who cried though.
I live in a house full of women. I get overwhelmed and cry like every 30 seconds. That's a lot of estrogen flowing around.
It's an emotional game.
I would probably cry at it. Dude, I'm a big baby. No joke. Like, if a game is even like elicits even the slightest emotional reaction, I'm probably gonna cry.
You should play To the Moon.
I have. I reviewed it.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
Oh yeah,
actually,
I keep
meaning to play through that.
It's not so much a game as it is like a storybook adventure.
Yeah,
yeah. That's what I hear. I have it. I just haven't sat down to play it.
You know, it took me a while to sit down and play it because, I mean, we got the review copy, and I was just like, you know what? I don't know. Like, 'cause this game just seems more like a movie, the interactive movie kind of thing, rather than an actual review or a game. And I checked it out, and I was like, you know what? That was like some of the best and most emotional 4 hours I've ever spent in my gaming career, you know.
Oh my god, when you find out why the game is called To the Moon, I just, like, I couldn't control my emotions anymore.
Well, really, yeah. For me, it was the music, man. The music was so effective.
I was just gonna say, great soundtrack.
Oh my
right?
god, yeah, so good.
The
music was mostly handled, I think, by this woman that worked on Plants vs. Zombies.
Yeah, she's a PopCap lady.
Oh, I didn't know that was her.
Yep.
Yeah, that's why they throw in a reference in there when you throw plants at zombies.
I like stumbled across her work on YouTube one day when I was looking for piano covers of Little Nemo. Little Nemo on NES.
Oh, nice.
And she did like a 10-minute medley, just, you know, free going on the piano. It was pretty cool. And then I saw she also worked at PopCap, and I'm like, small world.
Yeah, she's a super talented composer.
Oh, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Okay, so what else we have on this list? We're still getting through this. Oh, you know what? I've been playing Rogue Legacy. Have you guys had a chance to get on that?
Oh, I love Rogue Legacy.
I want
Legacy.
To.
It's cool. Well, what do you think, Wayne? Do you like, do you like roguelikes? Let's begin with that.
I actually like roguelikes in general. I remember, like, way, way back playing, Fatal Labyrinth on the Sega Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was my first, like, roguelike experience. But I know a lot of people do not care for those style of games.
Yeah, it's definitely not for everyone. Pretty punishing. But yeah, wow, Fatal Labyrinth, that's a throwback. early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
91, 92, yeah. 1990, yeah. Or 91, 91 in North America.
Yeah. I thought Rogue Legacy looked pretty interesting. I am not necessarily for or against roguelikes. I just haven't played any, really. But I did like the lineage aspect of it.
Yeah, you know what it is? I'm not crazy about roguelikes either because I don't have the patience to keep going through the same thing over and over. But at the same time, I found it to be fun because the dungeons themselves are flipped around and randomly generated each time you die. And you have at least three characters you get to choose from every time you start over. So it's all about trying to be as efficient as possible each time you go through the dungeon and collecting money. So, I had to cheat halfway through the game. I got about 3 or 4 hours in before I started using a money cheat. I spent the whole day on it, so it's okay.
So disappointed in you.
I know. But overall, it's not a great experience. This is coming from a guy who just hates playing roguelikes.
How's the controller support on that game? I know it has controller
support. I used it and it worked out really well.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah. But so if you have 10, I think it's $15, but it's always on sale on Steam. I grabbed it for $7 and it was well worth it.
It's full price as we speak because I'm looking at the page right now, but I don't have $15, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Why not?
Because I live in Southern Illinois where there's not a lot of good jobs. And I make $15 an hour, which is like really great for this area.
Awesome.
I just felt the pity in your voices as you said that.
No, I think something Wayne wrote.
No, I think that's great. It's great.
It's such a freaking pandering. No, it's okay, Dave. No, it's like what you say to a 4-year-old when they're panning their art project.
If you can see the image that I'm looking at when you said that, I'll send it to you now. Oh, God, it's a picture of a goat's head in a fridge.
Like you do.
Yeah. Yeah, this has been interesting, to say the least. Okay, so we're cranking through these games. Looks like someone's playing X-Seed. What is that?
I actually went back and I downloaded a bunch of Xbox Live indie games recently, yep. And I found two that were actually good. One being this X-Seed, which... I'm trying to think. The guy made a couple other games that were actually pretty decent. One was like a side-scrolling shooter, and it was like almost like Contra-like, but you were like a little robot guy.
Yeah.
But anyway, this X-Seed, you play a guy that you toss out these things that make plants on the ground,
mm-hmm.
And each plant has a different ability. Like one plant will like shoot forward, another will make a giant plant that blocks things. Some plants will shoot up in the air. And essentially, as you kill more plants, you get more plant abilities that you can cycle through. And as it goes on, it kind of requires you to use each different plant thing to hit enemies in different directions and all sorts of stuff like that. It was pretty cool.
I see it looks like plants are just like catching fire and exploding all over the place.
Yes, it seems like they all explode into like confetti, but I think it's actually like corn and stuff like that. And I think when you die, you explode into that too, which made me laugh.
It's like Little Shop of Horrors over here.
Mm-hmm.
It looks pretty cool. It looks like very SNES, side-scrolling, beat 'em up kind of thing. It looks neat. Terrible box art.
Yeah, I think that's a general status quo for poor Xbox Live indie games.
Yeah, definitely.
The other thing I didn't like about it is the character, like his moving animation is very weird. But I think that's just me being picky because I've been doing a lot of pixel art recently.
Right. Well, it's a dollar. Can't complain too much, I guess.
Exactly.
Funny how often we usually make that concession for indie games. Like, it's like $1, $2.
Even still, the game is good. Like, it was fun to play.
If it was on the phone and a dollar, you'd be whining your way all the way up to the forums.
No, I wouldn't because I don't play games on phones.
Not a mobile guy, huh?
What's
that?
I recently bought my first game for my cell phone, just out of curiosity.
And what was this?
Color Sheep.
Color Sheep.
Yeah.
No idea. Explain this.
I demand it. Now.
you control a sheep who is being accosted by wolves. And what you have to do is you have a color palette and you have to make the sheep... turn the sheep into the color of the wolf that you want to destroy. Tap the sheep to destroy the wolf.
Yeah.
But eventually, like, they start stacking and popping up or whatever, and if you let the wolf get too close, they eat the sheep. But there are, like, power-ups, and it gets, like, really freaking crazy at some point. It's definitely interesting. I originally saw it at PAX East. There was a table for it and another game by the same developer. Mm-hmm. And I've completely forgot about it until recently. I had an interaction on Twitter with one of the developers. I'm like, oh yeah, let me get that. It's $1.
This game. Okay, so moving on from our games that we've played, we looked at quite a bit of news coming up too. So who wants to start with this? You know what? You want to talk about the Steam box quickly and how this is really...
Sure, we can do that. That sounds fun. I think the controller looks awesome, but that's just me. And I do not like... I am not a big... I'm really not a big Valve. I don't drink the Valve Kool-Aid, to be honest. Yeah. Like, they're not a company that I think is without their, you know, flaws. I think they've got quite a few, but, you know, don't kill me. Gaben is not the messiah of video games. I'm sorry. But anyway, I think the controller, like, let me look back in, like, in the 1980s, you know, when Nintendo released the NES controller, it looked radically different from anything else that was there. But we still have a D-pad on our controllers even today. You know, they pioneered that stuff. And I really kind of hope that we get that sort of leap forward. And then, you know, there was the joystick and everything like that. I really hope this is sort of like the big next leap forward in controller technology. But that's... I think it could be. I really think it. You know, it has that potential. And I noticed that word keeps getting thrown around by everybody about it. Is ooh, it has potential, but that's probably pretty much the best way to describe it.
Did anybody read the write up from Tommy Refinis?
I don't read.
Yeah, what did he say?
Well, you know, he's the guy behind Super Meat Boy. Well, one of two guys. It was a team effort. Anyway, he basically wrote that he was able to configure the controller the way he wanted it to be to play his own game really well. The only thing he wished for was not the thumbstick itself, but he did wish that there were at least like little nubs on the surface so that you could at least ground, like anchor your thumbs as to where the buttons would have been. Because they're both touch and tap pads.
Yeah, yeah.
And apparently there are back button, like there are back buttons that work somehow or whatever. The only thing that really baffled me about it was not so much the thumb pads, but the A, B, X, Y around the touch pad in the middle. Mm-hmm. I didn't understand why they did it like that.
And it's important to note, I think it's still a temporary beta style controller. I'm sure it's going to change quite a bit before it hits the market.
No, we're all hurt right now.
That's it. House he's right now. That's how it's going to look.
But yeah, I mean, I think it's probably going to end up changing quite a bit. I think they've even said, I could be wrong, but I think they've even said that that's temporary, those four buttons there with the letter configuration on them. But let me see if I can't find that real quick.
I just don't really understand them. If I got more feedback on it, I guess I would understand.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things like we'll understand it once we have it in our hands. One thing I really hope is that it comes with some kind of USB device or something like that, so we can use it on our present systems.
Yeah.
That way, it doesn't have to only work on a Steam box. That way, I can just buy one and use it on my PC.
Well, they already said that it's going to work on the PC, and the beta one is actually USB. If you scroll all the way down to the bottom of the page.
I
assume it'll probably work like an Xbox controller would, where it charges through USB and whatnot.
I would imagine. I would just say, but will it be wireless that way? Do we know?
It seems like that, but I don't think I noticed a very specific thing about it.
Mm-hmm.
At least the battery and all that kind of stuff.
I'm kind of concerned about the thumbsticks, though. Like, without any tactile feedback.
I was going to say, that's the thing that worries me more than anything, because that's kind of what kills it for me for a lot of phone games.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. No buttons,
like, I never
no
know
band.
What's going on. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm definitely in the same boat as far as that goes.
Yippers.
But as I said, you know, we'll never have holographic computer interfaces if you keep complaining about tactile feedback.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And I think Valve is smart enough to sit there and say, you know, we don't care about how much people bitch. We put enough work and design into this that we know it's the best way to move forward. And hopefully, like, that's one of my big problems in the game industry in general, is whenever you listen to your incredibly vocal minority of people that just bitch and whine and moan about something. Like, it drives me crazy, the fact that these people, one, that they just completely whine and moan all that stuff, but two, more the fact that, you know, the developers end up giving into them, and that drives me crazy.
Yeah, and usually it's very uneducated about the subject kind of whining.
Right.
Which makes really bad decisions overall.
I just don't like to see a developer kowtow to gamers. Going back to an old example now, but although I really disliked the ending of Mass Effect 3, I was disappointed that they went back on it.
Yeah, that's actually the one thing I was thinking about in my head, right, you know, as I was saying it came out of my mouth, is the Mass Effect 3 ending. You know, stick by it. You know, if you really want to say that, you know, we felt like we wrapped this up pretty well, you know, don't listen to those whiners. Just freaking, if they don't...
Stick to your guns.
Yeah, exactly. You gave them an amazing run on three different games, and it, just because it didn't end the way they wanted it to, so what? You know, it just...
Yeah.
Just don't give in.
It's okay. Just be wrong. It's you know.
Right.
Yeah. That's what other developers do with some of their shitty things. And as far as I'm concerned, I got 79 hours like 110 hours of really good, amazing story. I could live with the 20 minutes. Some people can't. I have friends that were like mortified.
Right.
And cried in the shower. But you know, it's going to be like that. I think some of the DLC, the Leviathan DLC that came out after that, did better to elaborate it. It was still shitty, but just it hurt less.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it.
Took a little bit of the sting out.
Yeah.
After I played Jade Empire later this year, and I realized they're not good at ending things.
No.
Period. I mean, like, I haven't witnessed a good ending. I asked people about Dragon Age since I didn't play it, and they're like,
Well, and that's usually the sign of a not great writer. What they'll do is they'll get so far up into the story, they'll create this incredibly engaging story and world and have all these twists and stuff, and they don't know how to get out of it. They don't know how to get out of this hole that they dug themselves.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Where do we go from here? But, that's this set and gone now. So anything else about the Steam Box? Are you hoping for anything for indies?
I'm curious how they're going to start crossing things over between the whole Steam Windows market and the Linux market with the Steam Box.
Yeah.
That seems polarizing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I don't think most people realize that most games are made for Windows.
Yeah.
There's only a handful of titles or engines that even run on Linux to begin with. So that's going to be interesting to see.
I feel like it's going to have some kind of emulator, which is going to be a shit experience, but I don't know. I mean, I suppose we should trust them to get something out first.
Because one of the biggest problems with Linux machines is drivers, like just friggin' graphic card drivers and everything like that. I tried putting Linux on my desktop for a while, and I have a fairly new graphics card, and it just would not run it. Like, I could not find the Linux drivers for it anywhere. And I was doing some research, and apparently, like, the drivers that you can get for Linux to play games on is, like, pretty limited. And whenever a graphics card comes out, it's usually quite a while before it shows up on there.
I know NVIDIA was saying that they're going to work with Valve to get a lot of the graphics cards working better with that, with drivers and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Yeah, and, like, the big thing now is, like you said, drivers. It's very difficult to find companies to make drivers for Linux.
Right.
They have a hard enough time supporting Windows and OS X.
I mean, the install base just isn't there for Linux. It's, like, not worth their time. Yeah.
And even, like, OS X isn't nearly as large as most people think it is.
Mm-hmm.
No, yeah, definitely not.
It just looks large because you see all, you know, the college kids running around with these things. Let's look at Windows versus OS X market share. So look at something right now. God. So as of September 3rd, okay, here we go. From Cult of Mac, who knows this, Windows 7 has 45% of the market share. Okay, XP still has 33%. And
wow, really?
OS X as a whole, so all Mac has 7%.
That's as much as they deserve.
Yes. 7% of the consumer market share is OS X, and this is on Cult of Mac. So you know they're going to kind of be leaning one way, right? And so on a good day, they're 7%.
Everybody, I apologize if Dave seems distracted, but we're drawing ASCII penises in the chat right now, so that's why. Oh, God. So I think that may be a sign we should move on.
Whoa, speaking of which, I found a Game Boy Advance emulator sneaks into the App Store.
Huh.
This is cool.
Wonder how long that'll be to get it now, because I bet you it'll be removed in, like, no time.
The Apple App Store?
Like, every now and then, one of those sneaks on, and if you grab it in time, you can, you know, enjoy it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's how I got, I got, like, an arcade emulator that way, too. MAME.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, MAME's good. I love MAME.
Yeah. Oh, I love MAME. I just like MAME. MAME's good.
Of course, you could just get an Android and have all that shit on there. It's the wild west in the Android marketplace, dude. It does not matter what it is.
So going back into other indie stories, it looks like today a new Kickstarter was launched for Bot Colony, which infuses a bit of old school adventure games, which I grew up loving, and Isaac Asimov's iRobot. So have you guys had a chance to see this yet?
Nope.
No.
Okay. So it's from a developer in Canada. They're seeking $100,000 Canadian dollars. I don't know what Canadian dollars are.
Like 50 cents American or something like that. I don't remember.
Right. They have the kids playing hockey on their money.
And maple syrup. It comes with a bottle of maple syrup. And, yeah.
So it's and milk in a bag. You know, you get it when you bring American dollars.
And honestly, I think the Canadian dollar is actually worth more than American dollars right now.
Yeah,
it is worth $1.03.
Yikes.
And I went about 6 weeks
ago. Oh, wait. Yeah. I'm sorry. No, $1 is worth 1.03 Canadian dollars. So actually, the U.S. dollar is winning. Sorry.
Oh. Boom! America! USA! USA! Sorry.
You win.
How does it feel?
Yeah. Good. Apparently, this team, Northside Inc. out of Montreal, has been working on this tech since 2001. Now they're trying to finally put it in a game. They have 2 out of 12 of their episodes completed already. And they're going to Kickstarter to raise the rest of the funds. So it operates similar to another, it looks similar to Deus Ex, I guess, and a crossover with that Michael Bay film, The Island, the other one with Scarlett Johansson. Notice how I didn't say Ewan McGregor. And apparently you can speak directly into the computer and it'll understand your dialogue for the most part. Kind of like the point-and-click adventures of the late 80s and early 90s, mm-hmm. Where you have to enter random text and pray that it was correct. So that's my concern for this, but
that's a huge concern for me.
You say they've already got some episodes out that use that.
Two episodes are already underway, but they have a total target of 12. But they're
I don't know. I doubt that's gonna work.
Less things have been done on Kickstarter. It looks like they have quite a bit done already, and the game seems pretty well polished.
Yeah,
they show
people
playing.
I mean, you've got like a multi-billion-dollar company like Apple that still struggles with Siri, you know, doing voice commands and not understanding dialects and accents and stuff. Like, I don't.
Yeah.
I wish them all the luck in the world, please. But you know, I'm not trying to dump on them or anything like that. Good luck to them. You know, but that's quite the undertaking. Good luck to them.
I like that we're finally trying to push technology.
Yeah. You know what's bad is it shouldn't be the indies that's having to do that.
I know. But the AAA guys don't want to spend the money to take these chances now.
I think it's the AAA developers are fine doing it. It's the AAA publishers that don't.
Yes, and that's exactly the reason.
I was going to say, at least, you know, they're using something that people might have compared to Nintendo coming out with a peripheral for every other fucking thing. That's AAA, isn't
right.
it? So, you know, I'll take indie games going, why don't we work with what people have in their homes as opposed to why don't we have people spend $100 to play bongos?
Nope. Yeah, I think there's a difference between peripheral and trying to, like, change the medium. Yeah, but I hear what you're saying. I know what you're
I think it generates more interest to show that the things that we already have are still extremely useful resources.
Oh yeah,
so,
absolutely. I mean, it may work or not. Mouse and keyboard been around forever.
Mm-hmm.
Right. People need to innovate on that.
And tacos. Tacos have been around forever, and they're delicious.
Yes, they are.
Stop trying to screw with them, Taco Bell. They're good enough. Stop it.
it looks like it has some hopes. I like the fact that indies are trying to make something happen.
Absolutely.
So we'll look forward to this. And again, this is called Bot Colony. It started on Kickstarter today. That's Monday. What else do we have? Former Burnout developer creates Truck Stop. So have you guys taken a look at this?
No.
Seen your rage.
No, but I want to. No, oh, yeah, rage. I did read this. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's crazy, man.
So it's by Projector Games. It's DJ Arcus, the same guy who made Fortress Craft on X-Blig, which a lot of people complained about being a Minecraft clone. But to tell you the truth, outside of like the fact that it's voxels, there's very few similarities.
Well, that and Minecraft is actually just like a mod of Infiniminer. So.
Yeah. So he's finally picked up Unity and had a blast with it. I got a chance to meet up with him during the Game Developer Conference earlier this year. So now he's pushing out Truck Stop. So formerly he was, what was the name of the studio that worked on Burnout? Criterion. Yeah. Right. So it's Criterion in the UK, made Burnout, which is like a hit game on Xbox and 360. And for some reason, the studio just kind of fell apart. So now he's trying to create his own little take on Burnout, where you're a truck essentially ramming through a city trying to cause as much destruction as you can.
Which the first Burnouts had a mode that was a lot like that, but I don't remember what it was called. But it was really fun. Like, I remember the first two Burnouts were like my favorite. I really, really enjoyed those. I think they were, I want to say the first one was a GameCube exclusive.
My
100% on that, but
my husband loves the Burnouts.
Yeah, it's great. The early ones were the best. I mean, I loved, you know, Paradise and everything like that. It was great, but it was like a different game.
Man, there was a game on PS1 that I played years ago as a launch title. I cannot remember the name of it. And like every, you know, year or so, it'll come up again. But it's very similar to this. And you could be like a school bus or a scooter, and you're just driving through the UK and just causing as much damage as you could within like a minute or two. And it's a third-person kind of game. And this is very similar to that. It feels like a Microsoft game studio.
The graphics right now look kind of like Reboot, the old animated series.
I'm not sure that's a compliment at all.
Not yet. Although I did love Reboot.
You know what's crazy is like, I have a feeling we're going to get there, because like right now the sort of 16-bit revival is going on, and I think we're kind of on the tail end of it. People are maybe getting a little tired of it, but we're probably going to end up getting, hey, look, my game looks like Reboot. Oh, that's so retro. Yeah.
You know, then again, the rebooting the whole pixel art and all that is a lot different than rebooting old, really low polygon, like,
yeah,
not
that's
good
true.
Art.
Yeah,
look what we can do kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the sprite art, I think, was a lot better because it's a lot more, like, artistic. You know, there's a lot more, you know, left up to the viewer's imagination and all that kind of stuff. Now, as far as low polys, that's kind of just like, wow, that looks like somebody taped a bunch of colored boxes together.
Yeah.
Not to say that there isn't good ways to do low poly stuff,
right?
But doing it in the classic style, like Final Fantasy VII or Reboot, or it does not age well.
True.
No.
But yeah.
But you know, we'll get our Final Fantasy ID.
Final Fantasy
VII. Anything else you guys want to cover?
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
My goodness, I love Final Fantasy VII.
Me too.
Started. I love that game.
It's like a license to print money, and they're just not doing it. So anyway.
I know. It's a damn shame, right?
It is.
It's sitting in a vault with Fumito Ueda and the Last Guardian.
I get the feeling. Well,
we're tinkering
that,
on it.
Yeah. Well, I get the feeling that there's some kind of legal holdup, because I mean, like, I cannot think of a reason they wouldn't have done it by now. Like, I understand it's a lot of work. I do. I get that. But they're putting more work into shit games now.
Yeah.
You know? So, why not make it into a game you know is going to sell a bajillion copies? Of course, maybe they're afraid they'll screw it up. I don't know.
I'm completely bothered that they're working on, you know, Final Fantasy 13-3 or whatever, Lightning Returns. And they're like, we haven't dehumanized this female lead protagonist yet. Let's do that instead of Final Fantasy 7 HD.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. It's Lightning I never found to be an interesting character. Actually, I didn't find anybody from 13 to be an interesting character except for Vayne. I think that was her name.
I actually loved Saz. I mean, I know on his surface he's a completely racist stereotype.
Absolutely.
But his story was actually the only one that was even compelling. When I got right down to it, I felt that nobody had a good motivation to keep moving. Only he had his son.
Yeah.
And Lightning was just kind of a jerk for no reason. Snow was weird. I mean, just everybody was just weird.
Right.
But Saz was the only person who was just like, yes, okay, he's trying to save his darn child.
Yeah.
By the way, it's that girl's fault.
Right. I think I liked what was her name, Pinello and Vane. I think the reason I like them is because, like, they never just came out and said it, but, you know, they were kind of in love with each other, I think. You know, I don't think they ever came out and just said...
Oh, you mean in 12?
13? Not Pinello, sorry. In 13, the rabbit girl? Yeah, yeah, her and...
There's Vanille and Fang?
Vanille and Fang, thank you. Those are the two. I'm playing too much League. The girl named Vane in there, but sorry. Yeah, Vanille and Fang. I think those two, like, you could tell, I really actually kind of appreciated that about that story, because a lot of times in the... Especially with Square Enix, God, they have forgotten what subtlety is. But they seem to nail it there, you know, with just saying, you know, these two are in love with each other without actually coming out and saying, all right, these two are, you know, in a relationship with each other. So I like that.
So, yeah, I mean, that's all I have for this week. How about you guys? Anything else you wanted to cover before we blow this banana stand?
There's a game I've been wanting to talk to people about for a very long time. There's this indie RPG called Off. If anyone's played it. Just OFF.
Okay.
Can't try and Google search that one.
Yeah. Let me see if I can find a link for it.
I just Googled indie game Off, and I'm not sure which one it is.
Off by Mortis Ghost.
Yeah, it's by Mortis Ghost. I guess it was originally, I think, in like French or something, and then maybe about a year or so ago, they translated it.
Hmm.
It looks weird.
It has the oddest art style ever.
That's a little strange, yeah.
The game in general is incredibly strange, but as the game starts to wrap up, things start to come together, and all of a sudden you hit a point where you're like, whoa, this is what's going on?
Yeah.
I'll put it in the show notes for any listeners that are interested, because it looks cool. Like, I think it looks pretty neat.
It's one of those games that afterwards you want to talk to somebody about.
Did it touch you in a very bad place, Wayne?
It touched me in all sorts of places.
it looks kind of disturbed. Like, it looks like it's some kind of like bad nightmare or something.
It's kind of what it is.
Yeah.
It's pretty out there. It's just kept, as far as the gameplay goes, it's kind of like a classic RPG, semi-turn based, like Final Fantasy VI style.
Okay. All right, cool. Yeah, I'll definitely put that in the notes.
The last game that I really wanted to talk about after I played it was actually Antechamber, though, which I gave a 5 out of 5 on
Armored. 5 Star out Quest. Of 5.
Ooh, and I meant it.
You know, made you want to give it a 5 out of 5.
It was just so incredible. I just realized, aside from how... I mean, like, it really works hard at breaking down everything you want to expect out of a game.
Yeah.
And I really like that. Like, I really like that it's reteaching you your expectations. The only thing you can really depend on pretty much is up is up and down is down. But everything else is, like, out the window. And I like how every lesson you teach yourself to move beyond each puzzle ends up being a parable for life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're not actually you're not actually playing a weird abstract puzzle game. You're actually playing life in a certain way. And, you know, I really didn't want to ruin it in any ways, but just when it gets near the end, it just starts doing things that are so abstract and so beautiful that, like, it really touched me emotionally, even though I was looking at just odd objects. It's just, it really plays with the childlike sense of wonder, like, what is next? Really astounding. Really astounding game.
Probably not going to play it. To be honest, I it's not that I have anything against that. I just don't do puzzle games very well.
I am terrible at puzzle games.
I get super frustrated whenever I play puzzle games because I am stupid. So I don't really do all that well at puzzle games. But, I mean, I'll watch somebody else play it or something. I don't know.
It's worth watching. No, it's not obtuse actually in the least. The only thing about it is that you have to, you'll get to areas where you feel stuck and you just have to remember things that you did previously. Mm-hmm. Like you have to make sure to stay on top of like what you had done maybe like 2 hours ago and go like, oh, wait a minute, I haven't actually tried this.
Yeah.
But I mean, there are places where I was running around in a circle over and over and over again. I'm just like, nothing's changing. Until I finally just stopped and literally just stared until I was like, oh, what if I do? Oh, holy shit, I'm in a new room.
Yeah, I played at a PAX some time ago. I was like, whoa, how am I ever going to solve these things?
It's crazy. It's crazy, but I think it just does it so beautifully.
I concur.
In a crazy way. And it has little dev rooms. So the developer threw in like little rooms that are more or less dead ends, but
just kind of talk about the experience of making the game.
Yeah, but they show extra things to help you get an idea of what's going on behind the scenes.
Okay. Yeah, I'm always like curious to see what a developer's experience is like when making a title. You know, so I love seeing things like developer commentary, which I noticed that Wajidai Games does pretty frequently with his titles. Have you guys noticed that?
I rarely ever turn on commentary. I normally don't want to hear anybody talk.
Wow, surprising.
I will I
try to with Portal 2.
I always forget to do the commentary playthroughs. I'm not gonna lie.
Really? Like my first time through, I would prefer to listen to commentary.
Yep.
No, but that's just me.
So I'm the opposite. I'd rather go the second because like I want to experience the game how they intended. You know, so I'll keep it turned off.
Yeah.
You know, initially, and then my second time through, then I'll turn it on.
No, that makes sense as well. I can understand that.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
No, Dave, we have to fight. God, Jesus, why don't you ever fight?
Throw down? Is that what's going
to
happen?
God, I just want an excuse to punch you in that pretty boy face of yours. God damn it, Dave.
To each their own.
Damn it.
Okay, guys, looks like that is a very good show we've got in the books here. So hopefully we'll have this up in the next day or so, and so we can get started on a new season of the Armless OctoCast. Woo, thanks again for joining. And with me again, as always, we have gentlemen from the top.
Was there an order? Wait.
Yeah.
Are you filing us into some kind of hierarchy?
Hierarchy.
So if I say my name first, that means I'm top. Dan Campbell. Yeah, I'm win. I'm left.
Wayne Kubiak. Oh, yeah.
Gil's on bottom.
Gil Almogi.
Gil Sankosh. Fuck off. And I'm David Voiles, and thank you for joining us. We'll see you next time on the Armless OctoCast.